okay, I've had enough of this. I've had enough of this. Tweeting must be stopped. I don't know who invented this tweet thing. It was some twat that invented the tweet. I don't know who it was. But they've got to be stopped. This is the stupidest vehicle of expression ever devised. It's someone pouring their heart out in anger, in seething tone, in 40 characters or less. And I don't understand the people that tweet who think that they're so important and that their opinion is so incredibly important that they release it to the public in 40 characters or less. And that the public is stupid enough to read this stuff and respond with a tweet. Tweeting is basically open public argument. It makes people angry. It divulges. It can be unfavorable, misunderstood. You can't read somebody's expression or sarcasm in a tweet. It's just stupid. It's like people walking down the street and they just say like a couple of lines to you and they keep on going. It's like, what happened to conversation? What happened to getting into depth about your thoughts and about your opinions? 40 characters or less? Give me a break. I sit on the toilet longer than that. That's too much information.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Tweeting my ass. That's absolutely...
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program. I am indeed Ron Van Dam. Pleasure to be with you on this fine day. Perhaps. One man's fine day is another man's whole of cess. You know, it's just so embarrassing. The president of the United States, and I use the term loosely because it's now that office is just a farce of absurdity. Used to be a respected title. Now it's like, seriously, you want to be that? You would want to be president someday? What are you, screwed up or something? What are you, crazy? Yeah, it's a whole new connotation now. It's been screwed up. Used to be an office of dignity and respect. Well, I don't think that's the case. No matter what side of the aisle you sit on, I don't think you can say that's the case anymore. So the president gets up at 3-4 o'clock in the morning to pee. And figures, I'll express my anger as I'm urinating in the middle of the night. And he tweets. And here's a problem. Any grown person should not be tweeting by virtue of what the thing's called to begin with. How can a grown adult with responsibilities in life actually perform a task that is named after a bird. Why? We come up with the strangest names for things. To express yourself, you're tweeting like a little bird in a cage. What does that have to do? What, come up with a better name. Like espresso, I guess that's for coffee. But, you know, the president put out an espresso yesterday. All right, that's an express message expressing one's feelings and emotions and stupidity. That's an espresso would be a good name for that. Tweeting, what the hell does that mean? What does that even mean? I'm trying to knock some sense into humanity here. We all do things, and then we just keep on walking. We don't think about what we're doing. Now, you can't make a law against this, but there should be that anybody who has a respectful job can't tweet. You're not allowed because it's just so stupid. You're going to get yourself in trouble. Friend came to me yesterday and said, you know, Ron, did you hear the latest report? What the hell are you talking about? Report? What, from a child in grade school? What are you talking about? A report of what? Ron, did you hear the latest report that gluten is actually good for you? I said, okay, all right. First of all, where did you hear this from? Oh, somebody else told me. I read it somewhere. Okay, fine. So I go online to see if this is the case, and all I can find are articles, and they're labeled advertisements. It's got a little box, and it says ad in it, and one of them is by some guy that wrote a book that says that gluten is actually good for you because it contains vitamins and minerals and fiber. It's not a news article. It's an ad. Now, there may be a news article on it. I really don't know, and I don't care anymore because the internet has just screwed up every piece of truth there is. You have to read 10 different things to discern whether it's accurate or not, or whether someone's trying to sell you a bill of goods or made something up. Internet is just toxic, man. I seem to be pissed today, don't I? Have you gotten that? I seem to be pissed. I know why I'm pissed. Because of that ape shit monstrosity who sits in the White House, that's why. I'll get back to him in a minute. Well, I'll just say it right now. And I'm not calling him a murderer, although I guess he said if he shot somebody in middle Manhattan, then his followers would still be there, so I guess I would be a murderer if he did that. He's a murderer because he actually believes that our planet is doing just fine. And you can release as many toxins into the air as you want to, including burning coal, and just letting that gray-black smoke just spew into the atmosphere. Just let it go, baby. Not figuring that the melting of the polar ice caps is just because it's a little bit warmer up there this year. A president who has actually said, what are you kidding me? It's freezing outside. I have to wear a coat. What global warming? Oh my God. Oh my God. Are you serious that you just said that? And a lot of people believe what he says. Well, it was cold out yesterday. It was freezing. It was below zero. Global warming, my ass. Oh my God, you don't understand. Any president that opens his eyes and says, let's frack for oil. Let's damage the ground and all the wildlife that feeds off of it. Let's spew dirty stuff into the air like we were back in the 1950s. Let's ruin the planet. And he actually believes that business and people making money is more important than polluting stuff. That all the countries around the world are actually taking measures to reduce air pollution and to prevent extreme climate change, this country, the United States, supposedly the most progressive country in the world, says, I can fuck up the air. What do I care as long as I can make money? Murderer. Okay, anyway, maybe that's why I'm a little upset today. So anyway, so I'm looking up the gluten thing, and here's what I find, that yes, indeed, gluten is horrible for people who have celiac disease and other digestive problems and food allergies. Gluten's not good for you, but for everybody else, it's just fine. Let me tell you something. You do what you want to do, but I mean, don't walk around saying, hey, gluten's good for you all of a sudden. Hey, guess what? Somebody wrote an article. Gluten's good now. Oh, come on, let's buy gluten. Come on, let's buy gluten. What idiots the cereal companies are, huh? Who are coming out with cereals that are gluten-free. Uh-oh. We kind of jumped the gun on the gluten thing, didn't we? No, you didn't. You didn't. You can get your fiber and your minerals and your vitamins from other sources other than like pure stupid gluten. But whatever you want. I don't really care, whatever you want. I'm not going to tell you how to eat. You basically put the food in your mouth, you chew and you swallow it, and then you go to the bathroom. That's eating. Okay, fine, now we all do it. God. Here's something that blew the socks off me that is true. Do you have a dog? Don't answer me, I can't hear you. If you have a dog, then you're probably familiar with how much we love our dogs. Because people don't sit in our laps and lick our faces. I've tried to get people to sit in my lap and lick my face. I've tried. They refuse to do it. Intentionally. So we love our dogs. We just love our dogs. They are unconditional love. They just love us all the time. Do you know why they love us all the time? Because they have no arms. Because they can't get their own food. They can't open the door themselves. They're helpless without us if they're domesticated. That's why they love us. Oh no, they love me because I'm so nice to them and because I'm a beautiful person. And because I have such a relationship with my dog. Okay, fine. Maybe that enters into it. But it's basically because they can't get their own food. They can't do their own stuff. They depend on you. That's why they're attached to you. Come on. Do you see that? Now, I'm not putting you down. I'm just saying fact. Obviously. Certain facts don't have to be printed. They're just kind of obvious. I've had dogs all my life, sometimes three at a time. I love dogs. I'm just saying. And I've talked about this before. Dogs, we love them. They will defecate on your lawn, and then they will turn around and do one of two things. Either they will smell it, and I can't tell you the last time that I went to the bathroom, stood up from the toilet, turned around, and stuck my nose in the toilet to smell my poo. I don't think I've ever done it. I don't think I ever will. But dogs do it, and I can't ask them why, because they wouldn't respond, but they do that. Some of them will actually lick their own fresh turds. And excuse me for saying this, but wow, huh? Again, something I never considered doing myself. No, excrement to me is something that happens and then I don't want to see it. I don't want to smell it. I don't want to look at it. Dogs apparently are fascinated by their own stuff. I guess there isn't much else to do. All right. That's not so bad either, I guess. Then they jump up on your lap and lick your face. Now, here, that's the problem, you see. I know what the dog just did with its mouth and its tongue, and now it's jumping up and licking my face. But it's perfectly acceptable. Okay, that's fine. What I learned yesterday is if you have a dog, then you're familiar with a product called a bully stick. I used to think a bully stick was something that a cop carried around like a baton or a nightstick or a club, and if there was an unruly subject, hit him over the head. Better than shooting him. But that's not what a bully stick actually is. A bully stick is a bone. It's a stick, and you give it to a dog. It's a dog bone. It's a dog bone, but it's called a bully stick. Most people don't know what a bully stick actually is. Do you know what a bully stick actually is? That bone that a dog actually eats that's labeled a bully stick? Well, it's called a pizzle. Uh-huh. And a pizzle is the penis of a bull. That's why they call it a bully stick. Okay, I'll give you just a second to digest that. So not only is my dog playing around with its own excrement every once in a while, smelling it and finding it delightful, my dog also takes great delight in chewing and nibbling on a bull penis. I'm starting to rethink everything. It's for some reason, the universe is starting to collide upon itself. Everything's out of whack. Everything is out of whack now. Yesterday, unfortunately, there were tornadoes in the Texas area and Oklahoma. Why would anybody want to live there, by the way, when most of the year there's a tornado coming down the street? And tornadoes are rather destructive, like they'll kill you and also demolish your property as if you lived in Iraq or something. It's a horrible thing. People actually live there and actually have trailer homes. I don't know why. I don't know why by choice. Someone would say, I'd like to live right in the path of a tornado, please. Oh, here's a nice property. Nice. I'll take it. But they do. And Texas, of course, has some very large cities as well. And Dallas is very often under the gun for tornadoes and extreme weather. This week is a very tumultuous time for that area of the country. Tornadoes have been spotted just about every afternoon. And that's a serious threat to tens of millions of people in any given area. Yesterday, unfortunately, in a sad note, you know, storm chasers are? These are people that get in their cars and for some reason actually drive toward the tornadoes. It's like the running of the bulls. You want to get close to it, but you don't want to be trampled by one. It's the same thing. I guess there's an adrenaline rush to actually seeing a tornado and then getting close enough to it to photograph it or get some information from it. I have no idea. And then outrun it. There are storm chasers, not a lot of them, but they do exist. In regular cars, some of them have incredible contraptions in case they get caught in the tornado. They can take readings. I don't know why you would want to do that. I'd rather have lunch somewhere at an Arby's. I don't know. These people choose to chase storms. Yesterday, there was a bad situation. Two vehicles of storm chasers met their fatality. They died. And my immediate thought was, oh my God, tornadoes actually killed the storm chasers. They got too close to the tornadoes. No, that's not what happened. Two storm chasing vehicles were chasing a storm, and the two vehicles just collided into each other by mistake. It had nothing to do with the tornado. They weren't killed by a tornado. They were killed by their two cars. So, I mean, it's ironic in a way. You would figure if you're a storm chaser and you're going to be leaving this earth, it would be by the hand of death of a tornado. No, it was another vehicle. Not what I expected. Tragic, but not what I expected.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, and that gets you a podcasting high five. It's like a regular high five, but no one knows that you did it. Or cares. Or anything, really.
I care. I care a lot. I care.
Please be quiet. 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 Please be quiet.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. You're very free to donate to the program. We're paid by sponsors and people like that. But if you want to donate money, you can't donate more than $17 million. Don't do any more than that, because then it would become embarrassing. But you can donate up to $17 million if you'd like to. We do accept credit cards, which is a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, we accept Visa, MasterCard, and Discover.
Okay. Anyway, actually, that is what you hear when you call the Bunny Ranch in Nevada, which is a brothel. Wait a minute, Ron, how did you get that recording? Because we've interviewed the owner of the brothel on the show before, which is a very interesting interview, by the way. And this is actually when you call their place, this is, you know, you hear that recording. I'm just saying. So yeah, I kind of stole it. I figure, you know, if you're going to donate $17 million to the program, at least you want to hear something like that. You know, at least, at the very least, I suppose. You know, we were talking earlier about, you weren't saying a word. I was talking about gluten, and I don't eat gluten. I don't feed gluten to my dogs. I figure, why? You know, why bother? I do eat bread every once in a while. I guess there is my gluten. But I think eating a lot of gluten probably wouldn't make you feel too good. I'm really not sure. I really don't care. But what I do care about is eating somewhat healthy. And I do see television commercials for these drippy, greasy burgers at some of these places. And it seems like a comedy commercial, because nobody could possibly want to eat this. It's a picture of a gigantic burger with so much bun. Talk about your gluten, man. I mean, a gigantic bun and this thick burger that sits between these gluten monstrosities. And you can see the grease dripping off the burger. You can see it dripping onto the bread. It's pure grease. It's glistening like it's a grease ball of lard. And then on then they have bacon that is sizzling. For some reason, bacon still sizzles when it's on a burger on television, for some reason. And you see the grease from the bacon dripping on the grease from the burger, dripping all over the one thing on the sandwich that has any health benefit, which is like one piece of iceberg lettuce. And believe me, iceberg lettuce has no health benefit whatsoever. That's like taking a sip of water. And maybe there's a tomato on it. Maybe there's a tomato. And if there is a tomato, that's laden in grease from the dripping bacon and the dripping burger. And it's got like so much, it's got like lycopene in it, but to the point where it's not beneficial at all to you. By the time your arteries are all filled up with this lard and grease, that lycopene is pretty much saying, what's the point? What's the point of even being eaten here? And then the cheese, then there's cheese on it, dripping. The grease of the dripping cheese is melting with the grease of the burger animal fat. You know, when I get a burger, I try to get like a 90% lean or 93% lean. These are like not lean at all. They're like a, you know, if you've heard of like a 93% and a 90% burger, this is like a 2% burger. I mean, it's just grease with a little meat thrown in. It's seethingly disgusting. And then they serve it with these fries that have been thrown into a tub of boiling oil grease. I mean, how can anybody eat this thing and then live to tell about it? Yet it is being used to tantalize us. It's amazing.
Honey barbecue sauce, along with boneless wings, house-made chips, and Boston's best sweet potato fries.
Guys, it's time to man up, grow a pair,
and eat what you want to eat.
The Boston Burger Company, Davis Square, Somerville, and Boylston Street, Boston.
Yeah, no, these are actual places. Where they sell burgers like that, and the sexy girls in the commercial say, "Come on, grow a pair, have some balls, and meet your maker, and eat this stuff, and die. Why are you such a wuss that you want to live such a long life? What's up with you? Grow a pair, get some balls, and swallow cholesterol grease. Come on, corrode your arteries. What are you, a wuss? What do you want to live? What are you, stupid?" Man, I'm not understanding anything anymore. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, more program.
Wildlife poaching doesn't just happen in faraway places. It's a crime committed against countless wild animals all around you. Poachers don't care about hunting seasons, endangered species, or even the safety of other humans. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, which protects wild animals through habitat preservation and by confronting cruelty, needs your help. Learn your state's wildlife laws, so when you witness a crime against a wild animal, you can report it immediately. Help protect wildlife at wildlifelandtrust.org.
Smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats. You love your new connected technology. And the Consumer Technology Association wants to help you protect the security of your devices. First, don't use default or easy-to-guess passwords. Create unique ones and keep them safe. Next, look for and install security updates from device manufacturers. Also, have an active firewall for your home router. And consider using a professional installer to set up your new devices. Easy tips from the Consumer Technology Association to help keep your devices secure.
We're going to talk to a gentleman right now about your money or the money that you don't have. You know, we all get older, and at some point we're going to retire or may not be able to work anymore. And when you reach that point, in the back of your mind, you say, am I going to have enough money to exist here? Will Social Security handle it? That kind of thing. So let's talk about this, shall we?
We're joined by Craig Copeland, who's the Senior Research Associate for the Employee Benefit Research Institute, and Luke Vandermillen, who is Vice President, Principal Financial Group. And we're talking about a survey that was taken recently, I understand, a retirement confidence survey. What were the results of that? Well, tell me first about the survey itself.
This is our 27th year doing the retirement confidence survey. We do it to gauge people's confidence in whether they'll live comfortably in retirement, mm-hmm. The steps they're taking to prepare retirement or not taking, how much savings they're doing, and how they're thinking about their savings when they expect to retire, and all these issues about around retirement and their confidence in doing these various
Okay. And what were the results of the survey that were remarkable to you?
Well, overall, our first finding was that only 18% of workers expected to be able to live comfortably in retirement. This was down just slightly from last year at 21%, but pretty much in line for the last 3 or 4 years going back to 2014. But going a step further, why these people were very confident, there were two factors that we found that were overwhelmingly important to this. And the first was that whether they had a retirement plan or not. For those that had a retirement plan, they were three times more likely to be very confident in being able to live comfortably in retirement compared to those without a plan.
Sure.
Second of all, whether they had debt as a major issue in their life. If debt was an issue, they were far less likely to be confident in their future retirement. So once we took care of what they looked at with these things, these are a step to prepare and a step where you're not unprepared had different impacts upon their retirement confidence.
Okay. Were there any new considerations in this year's survey that there weren't in others, or are they fairly consistent in their questions throughout?
Kind of our top-line trend questions were pretty much in line with last year, but we added a couple new questions this year to kind of get at more of how people are feeling about retirement planning. And one of the questions that we added was whether they were mentally or emotionally stressed about retirement planning. We actually found that 30% of workers were, in fact, mentally or emotionally stressed about retirement.
Yeah.
And then we also asked about whether people worried about their finances at work, and we found 30% of people were worried about their finances at work. And they found that if they could have access to retirement planning or to financial planning, that they could be more productive at work.
Right. When was the survey taken?
A survey was taken in the middle of January this year.
Oh, okay. So it's fairly recent. It's after the political shift.
It's just before the inauguration, yes.
Ah, and the market had already started going up somewhat.
Right.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think if you just did a survey and didn't even talk about retirement, I think stress would be higher up than ever, but that's besides the point. That's not what we're talking about. Are people rather comfortable if they do have some type of investment in retirement? Do they seem to be more comfortable with that investment than they were last year?
Well, certainly those that are saving are more confident in than being able to afford retirement.
Okay, yeah.
We did ask some questions about whether they think it's easier to save than it was 5 years ago, not necessarily last year, but whether they can find a good savings account or whether they think their savings is safe. And people said that they weren't. So even though the market's gone up, they really haven't shown that they are feeling safer.
Yeah.
And certainly those that are at or near retirement aren't at all excited about the current low levels of bank account interest rates.
Does that have a lot to do with instability?
Certainly people that aren't in a consistent job don't have an ability to pay for their expenses, have the surplus cash, that certainly is playing a factor in their confidence and their stress.
Yeah, okay. I don't know how old you are, but when I was a young adult, there were things called savings accounts, and I don't think they exist any. I know there's CDs and things like that and money markets, but they pay a quarter of a percent. And I guess that has an effect on how things progress as far as savings is concerned.
Well, that certainly has an impact on savings, and that's kind of why we see those people that have an employer plan and they have better access to more types of savings assets.
Right, but
people that may get them a higher rate, they certainly are going to be in better shape than those that are just doing savings accounts.
I know, yeah, which makes more stress on the individual to make sure that they keep that job not just to pay the bills, but to get the benefits.
Certainly, I mean, having access to a retirement plan is certainly one of the key factors in being able to have a financially comfortable retirement.
So you guys are experts, so what do we do if we're not on that side of the coin that where we're satisfied?
Yeah, there's three steps that really anybody can take to put their mind at ease and just as importantly, put them on a better path for a more successful retirement. And the first one is calculate how much you should be saving for retirement. And if you are currently saving, take a look to see if that is adequate. There's a really easy way to do that. We have a really good tool on our website called the Retirement Wellness Planner, which you plug in a few pieces of information and it'll tell you if you are saving, if you're saving enough, and if you're not, how much you should be saving. So that's step one. Step two is, if you have access to a retirement plan where you work, like a 401k plan, especially if there's a matching contribution, take advantage of it.
Right.
Payroll deduction is an easy, painless way to save. If you don't have a plan at work, you can set up an individual retirement account. That's pretty easy to do. And then the third thing is, don't go it alone. Seek the help of a professional financial advisor. These are people whose business is to help individuals manage their debt, save for retirement, figure out what investments you should be using. So don't go it alone and work with a financial advisor.
You know, I never quite understood why people don't do that no matter what their situation. Even if you don't have extra cash or you are strapped, you think, I don't have a penny to invest or I don't have a penny to do anything with. I don't understand why they don't sit down with an expert, because there's no cost to a consultation, is there?
That's right. And I think that is the reason when you ask people, why don't you work with a financial advisor, the most typical response is, well, I don't have enough money.
Right.
You know, that's only for people who have, you know, a lot of money to invest, and that's really not true. Financial advisors help people get started on a savings plan, figure out some budgeting issues, help them manage down their debt. But that is a typical reason people feel like, well, I don't have enough money to meet with a financial advisor, and that really isn't true.
Yeah, I don't get why they wouldn't even if they had nothing, why they wouldn't even just talk to somebody about it face to face. I mean, it's nice to go online, and I'm glad that we have the internet and all that kind of stuff. But you don't know how to interpret what you're doing necessarily when you sit down with somebody. They look at your situation, because this is like, it's not an across-the-board kind of prescription here. It's based on an individual and their individual situations.
That's exactly right. You know, there are some great tools out there for people to go out and educate themselves and calculate how much they need to be saving for retirement. But at the end of the day, there are very few people who are going to solve their retirement challenge by just doing it themselves, by being a do-it-yourselfer. And most people would really benefit from some personalized advice and guidance from a financial professional.
Yeah. I don't know if this is part of your survey, but was there a point where people just figured that Social Security was their retirement plan and that would be sufficient? Are there still people that think that?
We do find that there's people that really think Social Security is going to be their only source of income.
Uh-huh.
But we see more and more people that aren't confident in Social Security being a source of income.
Yeah.
You hear all about how the Social Security trust fund is going to run out.
Mm-hmm.
And that certainly is reflected in their beliefs.
Yeah, in the
but
anxiety.
They still haven't taken those steps that Luke talked about, even though they aren't feeling confident that they will have Social Security to be there. So there is a disconnect between action and knowledge.
Yeah. All right, so where do we go for more information to move forward?
Well, for retirement tips and planning tools, you can go to principal.com.
And for further results from the survey, you can go to ebri.org.
Perfect. Hey, great information. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Take care.
Nice people. Very, very nice people. Not that I would ever go over to their houses for dinner, because I don't know how well they can cook, but they seem like nice people. Not the kind of people I want to necessarily go out to a restaurant and or do some drinking with, you know, and kind of shoot the crap there and see what's going on with them. I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want to play tennis with them. I don't like playing tennis with them. I wouldn't want to go on a long drive to a desolate part of the woods and go camping with them. They seem like nice guys, but I don't think I want to go camping or hiking with them. I don't think I want to go anywhere where we'd all be wearing shorts. I don't want to do that. I don't think I want to go bowling with them. That's embarrassing even when I'm going by myself if I ever bowled, much less see the two of them wearing bowling shirts. I'm not into that. I don't think I want to go dancing with them. They don't seem like they would dance very well. And that would be embarrassing because I don't dance well. I don't need to be multiplied, you know, like by two other people who can't dance well. I don't think I want to go on a triple date, you know, like we will all be bringing girls and we, you know, and making out in their hall closet. I don't think I want to do that with them. So, but otherwise they seem like really nice people. Hey, we're out of time for today. I'll be back with you again tomorrow. I hope you join me then. Until then, I wish you peace. That was exhausting. That show was exhausting. Are you exhausted? I need a nap. Any gluten on you? Feel like a little gluten. You got some gluten? Actually, on second thought, I think I'm going to call those two guys. Maybe we can go to a Zumba class together. I think that'd be kind of cool.